You know, we're still walking it out. Amen. We're still walking it out. Nothing's changed. You know what I'm saying? What's changed is we're changing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're changing. It says that we go from glory to glory.
Amen.
That sometimes it's not mountaintop to mountaintop. That's a lot. Oh, we'd never change, right? If everybody stayed at the mountaintop, nobody would change, right? So we go from glory to glory through trials, through tribulations, through, you know, afflictions. We've got to continue to endure. And we're going through a healing process, which is constant. And we know that when we've talked about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and even in the expression of the way, truth, and life is a representation also of repent, renounce, and receive. Repent, renounce, and receive. Now, if we continue just constantly following this, and whatever you do, whatever your choice is, whatever is going on, whether you blow it, you make a mistake, you constantly just repent, renounce it, because what's happened is we've agreed with the Spirit, and we break its power off, right? And then we receive the love of Christ. Amen? But the devil likes to keep bringing you to the past or stick you right there in the present and beat you up, right? So there are things that we've got to begin to understand. And, you know, the Word says that our fight's not against flesh and blood. And I know that you hear from this ministry a lot about demonic activity. And Jesus did a lot of fighting with demonic activity. In fact, his first fight was in the wilderness. Amen? His first real fight, of course, you know, the devil tried to get him when he was, you know, and the Bible says in Revelation 12 about the devil trying to prevent him and killing him before he ascended to heaven and so forth, but he really didn't understand what he was doing anyways. But we see here that your fight is not against flesh and blood, and it's something that we need to remind one another of. You know? You know, how many times have you've gotten upset with someone or whatever, or even you're upset with yourself and you can't shake it. You know? You just can't shake it and you don't understand why. And one of the things that we've got to understand, you know, we've talked about the truth sets us free, right? Truth sets us free. Well, we got to know, first of all, what truth is and who is truth. So it takes two things, doesn't it? It takes the knowledge of truth in relationship with truth, who is Christ, right? And as you and I are walking through this healing process, as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, the Word says that our path is going to be narrow and difficult, isn't it? But I remember it's molding us more and more to his image and likeness. But we can never lose sight that we're not fighting one another. And there are sometimes, and we've talked about, you know, addictions, we've talked about sicknesses and diseases, and the world wants to manage them. Right? I mean, they're, and you know what, you and I have been taught how to manage sickness, disease. We've been taught how to manage addiction. You know, don't go to this place and don't hang out with this person and don't... Yeah, so we know that those things can trigger certain things. But it's not just that, is it? And there's more. And one of the things that we don't even realize, and the Holy Spirit was sharing this with me last week, and then he quickened me to some things. He says, you know, some of my people manage demons. I said, whoa. You know, they just let them run their lives. They're managing demons and don't even realize it. And they're blaming everything else around them, their circumstance, their job, how they feel, why they do this, why they do that, how this person spoke to me, how this person reacted to me, how this, how... And you know what? They're not realizing that they're just managing a demon. Hello? So would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Oh, praise God. You know what they try to do? They actually try to avoid the demon. You know, you know, sometimes, oh man, it, you know, I just don't want to play with that thing. You know, I mean, but in true reality, they are. They're associating with it. They're fellowshipping with it. And the Bible tells us not to have any fellowship with darkness or come in agreement with it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, would you read this with me? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Hello. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? That's a memory lie, isn't it? or some kind of something that you and I have received that has brought bondage to us, isn't it? It could be inherited, it could be something self-imposed, it could be something that you've done it and you didn't realize, something you've said, whatever. You might have even picked it up just by something you saw. And you expressed it or received it as truth. It says, so that our weapons of our warfare are not natural, but they're mighty in God for pulling down these lies, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or the truth of God. And the Word says that we don't fight flesh and blood, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But he says something very powerful. He says, being ready to punish all of this disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And a part of your obedience to be fulfilled is a representation of walking through this process. Repent, renounce, and receive. Now, we've talked about 8 hours and, you know, and so forth, and about, you know, having relationship and resisting and so forth. And here's another part that he's talking about right here. Being obedient. In other words, submit to God and resist the devil. Well, what are you submitting to? You're actually submitting to the Holy Spirit in that moment. Does everybody got it? See, you can't expect to take authority when you're not in authority. In authority means that you're in relationship. That you're right. You're clean. You're walking right before God. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to walk perfectly, does it? God is not looking for perfect individuals. He's looking for faithful, humble. He knows you're going to make a mistake. But you got to be quick to repent, right? So when you blow it, you repent, you renounce, and you receive. Why? So you can stay in that position of relationship. You know, we all know when we begin to fall out of that relationship. You know, we sense it. Ooh, we sense it. You know, and the Holy Spirit starts convicting you, or you know, you just sense the presence of God. Now, it's not always about a feeling, right? Because there's times when God will just lift his presence from you just to see what's what. Amen? Sometimes some of us need the presence lifted from us to realize where we used to be. Hello? Well, you know, he's got a way of humbling us in many ways. But you got to understand something right here. So our obedience must first be fulfilled before you can take authority. You can't expect to go out and start casting out devils right away and take authority over you. Now, let me share something with you. It's amazing in how God will set someone else free even though you're not in authority. But you're the one that's walking in torment. Isn't that powerful? I mean, think about that. You know, there are people in ministry who are going out casting out devils and laying hands on the sick and they're getting healed and so forth and whatever. And once that service is over, or once whatever is over, or that period of time, they walk in misery. Because they're looking for fulfillment in ministry instead of relationship. Yeah. And they're looking for fulfillment, and they can't help themselves but to do works of lawlessness. And they begin to seek fulfillment in wrong places. Amen? So you and I, our obedience must be first fulfilled before we can actually take authority. In true right authority, especially for ourselves. You're not going to tell the devil to leave you if you're not doing the right things before God. Amen. He's going to laugh at you. Right? So our fight is not natural, is it? It's spiritual. And we know that the major battlefield is the mind. Amen? Right between the ears. And we know that these fiery doubts are nothing that come against us. They're nothing but voices of strangers, aren't they? Amen. You know, so many times I share with people, I say, you know, we can look at these demons and so forth, and you know, but you're actually fighting voices, aren't you? I mean, think about it, because they're impressing us. And there's when there's an impression, there's an expression. Amen. So, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness. And our weapons are not natural. They're spiritual, casting down. It's our responsibility to cast down. It's our responsibility to be obedient. Right? Because these demons want to return, don't they? Yeah. I don't care whether they're in you, on you, or around you. It doesn't matter. Why manage them? Amen? I don't want to manage one. Hi, how you doing? Have dinner with me tonight. No, I don't want to manage one. You know? I want to get rid of it. Amen. But let me share something with you again. You first got to repent, renounce, and receive before you can get rid of the one that's having fun with you. Right? Or having fellowship with you.
Amen.
Praise God. Go to chapter 11 while we're here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 through 4. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Well, how long are you going to put up with it? In other words, sometimes, look at, he's not always saying attack the individual or whatever. There's a time and place for everything. But what he's trying to do is bring us the discernment so that we just don't pick up anything. We don't want to just pick up anything. We don't want to just receive anything. You know, the Word tells us that we're the what? Test the spirits, aren't we? We're to test these spirits, no matter what. But there's sometimes when, you know, you're going to be in a place and you're going to be listening to what's being preached or whatever, and you're going to just have to put up with it. And you should have the discernment to eat the meat and throw the bones out. If you have a relationship with the Spirit of the living God, the Bible says the anointing that is in you, you need no man to teach you. Right? So if you're walking right and you're living out of your spirit, which is a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have the discernment of what is right and what is wrong. You know, so many people say, well, is this God or not God? Everything is God, isn't it? So God created everything. You know, I mean, he uses the demon to train me and you up. I mean, hello? He knows everything that's about to happen, going to happen, when it happens, and how it happens. But he won't interfere with your will. Now, he tries to do everything to rescue us, doesn't he? I mean, yeah, he can come down and pull you right from wherever, but he doesn't always do that, does he? Because we're his children. We're this be an express image and likeness of him now, and that's got to be molded in us. And that is a process that's constantly going, constantly moving, going from glory to glory, right? But in the meantime, these spirits are trying to attach themselves to us, and they want to convince you that it's you. That it's you. Man, why did I do that? Well, I guess it must have been, I made the choice. Yeah, you might have made the choice, but who did you touch and agree with before you made that choice? And then what happens is, you know, and we've shared this before, how many times have you done something? You listened to the voice of the stranger, you did it, and then after you did it, the devil beats you up for the next 2 days for doing it. So he convinces you to do it, then he beats you up for doing it. That's his job. But we don't want to manage these demons, do we? We want to get rid of them. And it's on that process of healing. Hallelujah. So we don't want to put up with them, right?
Right.
We don't want to put up with it. And I remember seeing a movie one time where, I don't know, it was a long time ago, when this dude was sticking his head out. He says, I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm not putting up with it. I don't remember what movie it was, but I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm not putting up with it. How many times have you gotten that place where you go, that's it, I've had it. I can't stand it any longer. That's it. How many times did the devil try to get you to convince you to quit following the Lord? This is crazy. If I got to go all through all this, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I counsel with who'd say, that's it. If this is how it is following God, and I don't want it. Well, it's like, who told you that? What demon are you managing? How many of y'all want to be a manager of a demon that pays real chintzy. There is no reward to be a manager of a demon.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's death, though. Managing demons is torment. Right? James 4. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Let's start at verse 1. And let's read this together, please. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not have. That's amazing, isn't it? Man, people murder and covet and cannot obtain. You know, they're actually trying to buy peace. They're trying to buy joy. They're managing demons. Where is these wars at? In your members. Hello? I always share people, if you don't have dominion over your members, somebody does. If you don't have control over something, somebody else does. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now he brings conviction. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God, who is the ruler of the world?
Satan.
Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of Satan or a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God, not God an enemy of you.
Amen.
You an enemy of God. Because it says the carnal mind does not want to submit to the ways of God. Has everybody got it? God's love for me and you never ceases, no matter what you've done. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And let me share with you again, a proud spirit, a prideful spirit is nothing but a strong man who protects the other spirits. He's the first one to jump in front and says, hey! That's it. You don't have to take this stuff. And he puts all the little demons behind him. He tries to cover him up. Man, don't worry about it. Spirit of lust, hide behind me. Pornography. Rebellion. Don't worry about it. I'll protect you. It's a demon. Blame everybody else for your stuff. Man, you know, it wasn't you anyways, man. You were brought up that way. Blame it on your parents. Hello. Glory to God. Therefore what?
Submit.
Everybody say submit.
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 To God. And what?
Resist
the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, when you're double-minded, it means that there's another operation of another mind. That means you're managing a demon. You know? There's some people out there that can run a whole play. I mean, they can start their own choir with demons, you know? I mean, you see them on TV, they're called rock stars, right? And then it's a choir of demons. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7. and they're managers of them, aren't they? They make big money, don't they? Oh, to God be the glory. Don't manage the demon, right? No manager's a demon. Resign from that position. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. I just don't understand why I do what I do. It's because you're managing a demon. Well, isn't it my fallen nature? Well, your fallen nature is submitting to demonic activity. Hello, it says you're a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away and all things have what? Become new. It says that you now have a divine nature. a divine nature does not want to submit to demonic activity. It wants to submit to the divine holiness of God Almighty. That's okay. You can repent later. Don't worry about it. If you get convicted, that's great. The best thing to do is quit managing them and get rid of them. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, we've all been managers, everyone in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 16. No, wait, let's start at 15 and get it right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, help me.
No.
For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree. Say agree.
Agree.
With the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it. Does everybody say that? It is no longer I who do it. But sin that dwells in me, that means sin is a presence. Somebody there? Mr. Sin. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh or in my fallen nature, character, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. How many of y'all want to will, to do the will of God? But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. You got to go back now. He says, why? Because sin is present. That means there's a presence of a demon there that's utilizing your fallen nature. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Sin is a presence. I find then a law that evil is what? Present with me. The one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Amen. I thank God through Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That's why the Word says that those who are led by the Spirit crucify their flesh. They are known as sons of God. So as you're led by the Holy Spirit instead of the unclean spirit, your flesh is going to manifest who you're fellowshipping with. So we don't want to manage these demons. You know what? You can't just stick them under the rug. First of all, it doesn't work. And you end up tripping over them anyways. You can't avoid demonic activity. You must take dominion over it. Quit justifying it. And the reason why you're justifying it is because there's more than one demon. There's a justification demon. Come on, let's get real. Everybody understand evil is present. Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh or to the fallen nature to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? Hallelujah. So you're going to listen. If you're led by the Spirit, you're going to have the discernment, right? If you begin to manage a demon again, you're going to know. Hold on. Wait a minute. That's resist, right? Hold on. Let me recognize this thing. Let me take my responsibility. Let me repent. Let me renounce, let me remove this thing, and then I can rejoice. In short, repent, renounce, and receive. And that's the healing process. And verse 14. Read it with me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So if you're not led by the Spirit of God, what son are you? Amen. You're a son of Satan. Amen. Listen, so many people think, well, once I come to Jesus, no problem. The devil does not give up on you. In fact, he still claims you as his children.
Yeah.
You're still carrying a part of his character.
Yeah.
Mm. Those are called habits. But you can have dominion over those things by being in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of what?
Bondage.
Again, to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That means daddy. That's relationship. That's relationship. But you know, you can have a relationship and still pick up a spirit. Hello? No. You can still pick it up because the devil likes to put those blinders on bit by bit. You know, the word says that he's the most cunning beast. He's very subtle. Very subtle. You ever see how a snake moves real subtly, you know? There's no gallop. There's no trampling. It's real subtle. He just slithers right in. The next thing you know, you're saying something you shouldn't. You're whatever, and you go, whoa, you know? And one thing you never want to do is manage that demon. You manage it by justifying it. Well, man, you know how I feel about this person? Well, you're managing the spirit of bitterness or anger. Well, man, you don't understand what they did to me. That doesn't matter. Why manage that spirit? Get rid of it. Especially the spirit of fear. Man, the spirit of fear. Whew. Remember, Satan's weapon is deception and his power is fear. And that spirit of fear, and that's what we were just talking about, why go into bondage again to fear? I don't know anybody who hasn't gone in bondage in some demonic activity and didn't have fear. I believe every demon is a spirit of fear, a spirit of Antichrist. Some of them are just more characteristic in certain other avenues. You know, they have certain talents. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So we got to understand it. If you want to be a manager of a demon, you're going to eventually die. Because your flesh is going to manifest, and the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Go to Romans 12, and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's this next word? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, so it's our responsibility to keep these vessels clean. Right? So we can present them to him holy and acceptable. And verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we must present ourselves. In other words, that's a representation of submitting to God, right? And as you fellowship in the Spirit, you'll find that He quickens you to His Word. You know, your carnal mind can never be renewed. The Word tells us that in Romans. So the mind of Christ is actually the Holy Spirit. So you must have fellowship and relationship in the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can quicken you to the Word of God. He's always there. You know, so many people think, well, that's just my conscience. Well, if you want to call the Holy Spirit your conscience, that's so be it. Well, He's my buddy. Hallelujah. He's my teacher and my friend. He's also my Lord and my God. He's expression of everything of my Father in love and in truth. Hallelujah. Oh, I just feel Him all over me right now. Glory to God.
Oh.
So we're to be holy, aren't we? Holy. That means that we fellowship with a clean spirit known as the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I think we take that for advantage. We call Him Holy Spirit. Well, let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a reason why He's called Holy Spirit, because he is holy. Hello. He is holy, and he desires to dwell in a holy temple. Hallelujah. You know, look what Jesus did. Didn't he go into the temple, turned over all the tables, right? Chased all the demons that were hiding underneath all the tables. And all those that were behind the table were demon managers. You know, think about it. They were nothing but demon managers. He pushed the demon managers back and got rid of all the demons, right? And I get out of here. And they were profaning and contaminating the temple, which is, that's why Jesus came into your temple. Now he's beginning to turn over those tables.
Yeah. Amen.
But you can't run when a table turns over. Man, I just don't like what I see under there. Well, who told you that? Take care of it. Amen. Don't manage what you don't like. Get rid of it. Amen. Come on, how long would you walk around with a spoiled sandwich in your pocket? People would be looking at you going, man, whew, that person's sick. And it's nothing but a spoiled sandwich in your pocket, right? Man, what did you eat today? Nothing. I was fasting. Well, get rid of it, man. You know? Hallelujah. So this temple is to be holy, isn't it? Holy. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. And verse 11, please. All Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, why would your own affections restrict you? Because you're managing a demon. Now, in return for the same, I speak to as to children, you also be open. Do not be what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, you got to understand, a demon is a believer. He's not following Christ, though, is he? But even the demons believe Jesus. Don't they? Does everybody understand that? Now, we know that we have a definition of those who, a believer is one who follows, right? Amen. And that's true. But the Bible even said even the demons believe, don't they? They believe. They believe who he is. When Jesus shows up, they all go, wah! It isn't time yet. They know the time. It's not time yet. They're probably going, it's not time yet. I hope. Son of God. They knew who he was, didn't they? Well, you know what? When you're walking in authority, they look at you the same way.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. But the devil don't want you to know that in your mind, does he? Amen. First thing, you start seeing a manifestation of something or whatever, he says, you're afraid. Then you go, yeah. The Holy Spirit quickens you to the word. Come on, Jesus cast out demons. You can do it too. Now, don't you remember Mark 16? See, he starts quickening you to the word. The next thing you know, you're stirring yourself up. You're saying, yeah, get out of here, spirit of fear. And come out, devil. I mean, this happens all quickly, doesn't it? It's quick. That's why it's important that we live out of the Spirit and fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. That's why it's important that we begin to recognize and stop managing these demons, because actually they're managing you. Hallelujah. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with what? Lawlessness. And what communion has light with what? Darkness. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what heart has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. You know, things can be idols, can't they? People can be idols. Jobs can be idols. Ministries can be idols. Amen? I know that the Lord's got he breaks me down every once in a while, and when ministry becomes more important to me than my own life or my own home. And that can happen. It happens to me, and every once in a while he'll grab hold of me and say, guy, come on, let's get back in line. Because there's so much need out there. Amen? And we can get caught up in so much need that we lose sight of our own home and our own self. Amen? And we're no good to anybody if we're not right. Hallelujah. And I know all ministers can fall into that place real easy. And there is a real fine borderline. But I'm telling you, if you're walking with the Holy Spirit, when your big toe starts stepping over that borderline, He starts getting on you. If you'll let Him.
Amen.
You know, if you'll let Him. Hallelujah. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore means if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not become managers of these demons. No. And do not touch what is what?
Unclean.
Unclean. And I will what? Receive you. And I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of reverence to God. Oh, hallelujah. If you find yourself being rebellious a lot, you're managing a demon of rebellion. If you find your mouth perverse and you're criticizing, you're managing a spirit of criticism or perverseness. Do you understand that? We don't want to be managers. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is everybody okay? So you're going to turn in your manager badge tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Would you read it with me, please?
What
14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Hello? Warn those who are unruly. Warn them. Don't beat them. Warn them. Why would you warn them? Because they're associating with a spirit demonic. Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourself and for all. And that takes discernment and wisdom, doesn't it? In the ministry, our first concern is the individual, then our second concern is the flock. Amen? There are times when individuals have to be removed because they're not willing to receive. And if they are dangerous to the flock, then it takes removal. Then they got to run the course. Amen? Rejoice always. How many of y'all rejoicing always? Come on, some of us are still miserable in here. You know why? You're associated with a demon. It's real simple. It's called the spirit of heaviness. And quit managing them and get rid of them. Get out of the woe is me, the self-pity spirit. I'm not worthy. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's not you anyways. You and I can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So come out in Jesus' name. Rejoice always. Can everybody say that?
Rejoice always.
One more time.
Rejoice always.
I say, I'm going to
rejoice
always. And those who didn't say it, you need to repent and get rid of that demon. You're bound by a devil if you didn't say it. And if you want prayer, we'll pray for you. Or else you can manage that thing till he beats you to the ground. Hallelujah. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form of evil. Every form. Abstain from being miserable. Amen? That's a form of evil. I always share people, man, if you're miserable, stay home. Don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Amen? Don't be a stumbling block. Stay home. Go get right. Repent. Get rid of that spirit. Get filled with the Spirit of God. Rejoice. And then go tell people. But I never saw Jesus grumble and complain. It's not even written in the Word.
Amen.
Amen. The only thing I ever saw him say was, I'm about my Father's business. When Mom and Dad came and pulled him out of the temple. Because Mom knew when it was supposed to be time. Hello? Praise God. Okay. Let's go a little further. This is getting fun.
Amen.
So we're to abstain from every form of evil, right?
Amen.
No compromising.
Amen.
Every form of evil. When you begin to compromise, you know what you're doing? Managing a demon. Acts chapter 16. You may think you're managing that demon, but that demon is actually managing you. Yeah, I got control over this thing. It only pops up once in a while, but you haven't gotten rid of it yet. That means you're managing it. Hallelujah. You got to get angry, man. You got to hate evil. That's it. I'm tired. I'm not taking it anymore. Some of us just need to humble ourselves and make the confession. That's all it takes. Can repent is a representation of confess.
Amen.
That's submitting to God. Now, if you know you're associated and managing demons, man, it's hey, look, Jesus is not condemning you. He loves us. He says he's come to give us life, life more abundantly, to set the captives free. Right? We want to be free. There isn't anything greater than freedom. But if you're not free in all of your members, it's torment, isn't it? It's torment. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune teller. Oh, they always lie. And it's only temporary. They want to bring you much profit. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm all right. I'd be better off, you know. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should go back to doing what I used to do. It's more profitable. Hello. You know. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Again, they lie. It's only temporary. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Oh, they love exalting. I mean, you know, they love exalting ministers. They love exalting children of the Most High God. You know what they cause? Stumbling block. They cause pride, don't they? Oh, you did a good job. What you hear is, my son, my daughter, whom I'm well pleased. You know that's Dad.
Amen.
And what you do is, you turn around and give it to him because he's the one that did it, not you or me. Amen. So you see this woman that was possessed with a demon. She was actually managing this demon, a talent.
Amen.
Believe me, some people have talents that are not turned over to God yet. They're using it for the devil. That's managing a demon, isn't it? Can you all hear me? Good. Move up. Hallelujah. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, believe me, their presence is annoying. Oof, drives you crazy. You want to say, shut up. Turned and said to the Spirit. He didn't say it to the woman, did he? So many people get caught up in the flesh. You know somebody's got a demon and you talk right to the person. You jerk. Don't you know you got a demon? Oh, that's real nice. You got a demon, man. Hello. Now, you may think that, but don't express it. Right? You want to approach the individual in a different way? Now, it all depends on what, you know. If you've got someone that's practicing witchcraft and is not a believer, you approach people differently. And that's where you have to have the discernment, right? Amen. Now, they knew what this person was doing. Paul said, that's enough. This demon's been following me for 3 days and it's annoying me. He turned around and said, come out. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Oh, was everybody upset? That person could no longer make money for their masters. And let me tell you something. Those demons are angry because they can't... See, you got to understand, some demons are working on competition. Satan makes many promises to them. They'll never be fulfilled. They're in competition. You know, in true reality, they hate one another.
Yes.
Because demonics hate, don't they? I mean, that's the originator. Right? They hate one another. So they want to use you to beat up someone else. Did you ever see two people get in a fight? They're punching each other out. The demons are in there. Did you ever see those little, what do you call those little plastic things the kids play with? They have the little buttons and the, you know, and the boxing things. And the demon's the one that's running it. Yeah, man, and they're playing with, they're using humans to beat each other up. They're using humans to war against one another. They're using humans to kill one another, even terrorism. It isn't the people, that's the demons. And some of them are managing quite a few. Quite a few. Hallelujah. So the demons used this woman, right? But when the demon was removed, the talent was gone.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Somebody always tells me I have a word for you, I always stay away from it. Yeah, I got a word for you. And I got a word for you. And then I have another word for you. I have a word for you. Repent, renounce, and receive. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. You know, there's a lot of granolas around. You got to be careful. Those are nutty and fruity. And there's nothing wrong with getting a word from the Lord, you understand that? But some people thrive. They thrive on it. And they try to control people with words. That's a controlling spirit. I had a guy one time that couldn't sit still. He had to give you a word. Always. I got a word. What do I got? I mean, the dude could barely catch his breath. We finally revealed to him about the demon that was in him. The Holy Spirit gave me a vision of him holding a teddy bear. He was born with this thing. And I shared with him, it's time to give the teddy bear up. Because he went by emotions and feelings constantly. And so he allowed me to pray with him, and I cast that demon out. And the person hit the ground and got up, and he said, I feel naked. I said, praise God, you're clean. He said, I can't live this way. I lost the voice of God. I said, that wasn't God from the beginning, man. He said, no, I can't live this way. I said, it wasn't God from the beginning. It was a familiar, seducing spirit that's been hindering you, pretending to be like the Holy Ghost. He's been driving you crazy. No, I can't live this way. He ended up leaving. And of course, he took the teddy bear with him. Amen. I mean, check that out. Your fruits are what judge who you're hanging with. Right? You're fruits.
Amen.
Well, you can do all the tongue speaking and hand raising and dancing and still be demonized. You can be the number one manager. Remember, starting at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are what?
Above.
Above. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. In verse 2. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your what?
Members.
Which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things. So we're responsible, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor non-circumcised, nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Hello. Let's go on, one more verse. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do it. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. One of the number one managers in the Bible. Well, this is how a demon works. First Samuel chapter 15. Glory to God. This is a wonderful example of how a demon works, man. In verse 10. Hallelujah. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, that's cool, we can use this one too. I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from what? Following me. And has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he had set up a monument for himself. Hello. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down the Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Oh, Saul thought he had it, man. Yes, I've done it. I've done exceedingly. Look, I even built myself a monument to remind myself of what I did. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Oh, he thought he was doing the will of God. Man, was he managing some demons. And Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet. Be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, and he said, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, that means humble, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, is the Lord of great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Oh, doesn't the devil love you? When you're managing a demon, he's causing you and he's making you think, all the sacrifices I'm doing. All the things I'm doing for you, Lord. You're managing a demon. You know why? Because your eyes are on you now. I've sacrificed everything. I've given you all. Ooh. You must be expecting a good paycheck. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. That's a presence, isn't it? And stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has also rejected you from being king. A king is a warrior. Amen? A warrior. Is everybody all right? Now, actually, this next one is the one that's really good. Go to Judges 16. Praise God. Judges 16. I'm just going to use a couple examples here. Judges chapter 16. This is how a demon really operates, I'm telling you. Really, really good expression here. When I say Judges 16, okay. Judges 16 and starting in verse 4. Afterwards, it happened that he, Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Oh, Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Oh, the demons always make good rewards. Carnal rewards. Worldly rewards. Amen. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and what, and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Now, come on. I mean, come on. First of all, he's in covenant with the Lord, isn't he? If he tells a secret, it's not because of the thing that's going to happen. It's because he broke covenant, which is going to lose his strength. It's not his strength. It's God's presence, isn't it? So Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and like any other man. Of course, he lied. In verse 10, then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. See, demons lie to each other, don't they? Now please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. And of course, she did the same thing. And verse 13, Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into a web of the loom. Of course, she bit that one too. But the demon didn't quit. Hello? When you begin to manage, see, Samson was trying to manage a demon. Wouldn't work. You know, people don't understand it. Love is not a demon. Lust is. What was he doing with this woman? Lusting. He was managing a demon, wasn't he? There was no love there. It says he loved, but it was lust, wasn't it? Go to 15 and says, then she said to him, how can you say I love you? Hello? How could you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. I mean, you would think that he got it by now. But he was blinded. He thought he was actually managing this demon. But this demon was about to wipe him out. It only takes time. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor shall ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God. I have been a servant of the Most High God. And let me tell you, the secret that God has blessed me with. See, it wasn't the cutting of his hair that took the power. It was the breaking of the covenant that took the power. And that's what a demon wants to do to you. He wants to cause you to break covenant. You can only manage them for so long. They will cause you to break covenant unless you get rid of them. Amen? Everybody got that? And this is a wonderful example. You can read this through and follow it all the way about Samson. Because he ended up blinded, didn't he? And chained. And he repented. And God gave him one last opportunity, but he killed himself too, didn't he? Amen? You know, in Acts 5, and I'm not going to go there, Ananias and Sapphira, two believers. And one of the things that was said to him, why did you let Satan, you know, take hold of your heart and come to us and lie? See, ever since they chose to sell some property, and everybody was selling their land and putting their money together. Well, when they got their money, the devil started hitting them with greed. So when they and everybody was giving their money, and when they got before the apostles, the servants of the Lord, the disciples, and to throw their money, and they kept some back. That's all they do is be honest, didn't they? You know, we chose to keep some for ourselves, and there's some needs and whatever, but we're given this amount. But pride prevented them to get to repentance because they were trying to manage these demons. You don't think they were both tormented? I mean, they touched and agreed. Yeah, okay, let's... I mean, these demons were talking through their mouth to one another. Yeah, okay, well, we'll just hold this back. We'll tell them this. And we'll get before them. There won't be a problem. You know, it's okay. Let's just do it. You know, they were dead. You can't manage a demon, he'll end up killing you, tormenting you. Amen? Go to Matthew 12. That's why we need to repent, renounce, and receive. The process continues. It's only by the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus. Repentance activates the blood of Christ. Then you take your authority. Get rid of that stuff and then you receive the love of God. You get filled with the Spirit. In verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I'll return to my house from which I came from. That body I've been in for a long time? That host? I claim that mine. And he finds it empty, he puts swept in order. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits. Hello? More wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it also be with this wicked generation. And let me tell you, it only takes one demon to invite the rest. You try and manage one, and next thing you know, you're trying to manage 4. And you're trying to manage more. Then you're in prefabricated personality as trying to act like a Christian and holy. But you're still trying to manage these things while they're tormenting you inside. When you're trying to do the right thing and you know you can't. Amen? So they're looking, aren't they? They're still claiming you as their body. They're going to come back more and more and more. If you're trying to manage one, you're going to try to manage many. Hallelujah. Go to Jeremiah 7. You know, the devil ain't stupid. A little goofy, but he ain't stupid. too stupid anyway. But we have the mind of Christ, don't we? Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We have the mind of Christ. And Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be their God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. How many want things well with you?
Yeah.
Amen. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their own hearts, evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. If you're going backward and not forward, something ain't right. Hello? Something's not right. Now, it doesn't mean that... Now, let me share something with you. Backward is a representation of going back to your old ways. Okay? Some people are stagnant. That's backwards. We want to continue to go forward. And going forward isn't just about gaining more knowledge. It's about having more relationship. Amen? It's about trusting God more. That's a form of going forward. You know? Things that you didn't trust in before, you can now. You know? I mean, things that you used to try to carry, you don't carry anymore. Burdens that you used to pick up and responsibilities that you had no right of even trying to take responsibility, you don't do it. Things of waiting on God more than you used to. Those are things of going forward. Okay? It's not always just great revelations. It's not always just more knowledge. Amen? It's more trust. It's more surrender. In fact, more repentance. Amen? You find yourself repenting a lot more than you used to. Oh, man. It's more sensitive to the things that don't please Him. And it's more sensitive to the things that do please Him. Amen? Going forward. Not justifying and trying to hide something under a rug. But being naked before God is going forward. Amen? Not building on... You know, the Bible says building on the things that you've been freed from is called an abomination to the Lord. You know, if you find yourself that God freed you from cigarettes or whatever, and you start picking them up again, you're going backwards, not forward. You know? You find certain things that your character and certain fruits begin to manifest, then there's something wrong there. Amen? You know you're managing a demon. Somehow, a demon slid in. No matter what. Sometimes you don't always have to figure out how it got there. The thing you want to do is get rid of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's see. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Hallelujah. Let's go somewhere else. let's see. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. You know, those spirits always want to try and cause separation of God's love. Love for yourself and love for others. You know what I'm saying? That's their purpose. In verse 5. Would you read it with me? For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from Him who calls you. Hello? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, it just takes a little leaven. You know, when you plant a seed, those are called corruptible seeds. The devil can plant a corruptible seed in you. And next thing you know, he's watering it. And next thing you know, you're trying to manage it. Then you're pruning it. Hello? You don't even know you're taking care of it. And you're watering it, and He hands you the bucket now, you know, and you're watering it more and more, and the next thing you know, it's bearing fruit. And you're wondering, how did I get here? Because you were managing that spirit. Amen? A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? I want to show you something real quick. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, we know that we're dealing with the spirit of Antichrist also, right? Amen? The spirit of Antichrist. Every demon is a spirit of Antichrist as far as I'm concerned. Every spirit of darkness is a spirit of Antichrist. And one of the things they do is they come against the obedience to the Spirit of God. They come against the move of the Spirit. Amen? And they like to breach love in our life. So if you find yourself managing a spirit of unloving, in other words, you have a hard time loving someone. And now listen, love is not always a feeling. If you constantly go by feelings, you'll be led astray. Hello? Love is a choice. Amen? Because when two people have an argument, if you were going by feeling, people would never stay married. Hello? Because the devil could, I mean, you can get real angry sometimes, can't you? I mean, you can get real angry with someone, but the Bible says be angry, but don't sin. Amen? Now, you can get upset, you can be offended, and whatever, and you could think, well, how can that person love me? And then you're like, oh, man, and then the devil's really telling you all kinds of stuff and whatever. And the devil loves to breach that love, doesn't he? Now, here's what love is about. Okay, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and not have love, I become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. See, if you don't have love, then you're managing an unloving spirit. Because it explains what love is. Look at this in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Not self-martyrism. Hello? Suffers long means it endures. In kindness. Some of us are enduring in the wrong attitude. The wrong motive. That's managing a demon. Hello? Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now here's the kicker with it. Because we just talked about the spirit of Antichrist that as a representation of unloving and comes against the move of the Spirit. Now it says, and love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. How many times have you heard this scripture spoken saying, okay, the gifts are no more?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Well, that was for them. You know why? They're associating with the spirit of Antichrist. Does everybody understand that? Because the spirit of Antichrist is unloving and moves against the power, moves against the spirit of God, doesn't it?
Right.
Somebody get it? And here it is right here. It's powerful. When the Holy Spirit brought me to this, I thought, wow, this is awesome. See, that means that somebody's managing a demon. And of course, every demon to me is the spirit of Antichrist, right? They're managing a demon. If they've got to try to fight and prove that God doesn't move in this way anymore, then they're managing a demon. If you're still afraid of tongues and prophecies and casting out devils, you're managing a demon. If it's hard for you to express love or receive love, you're managing a demon. Hello? Somebody got it? Everybody all right? Good. Let's close at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got more scriptures, but I think we got the gist of it. Gist of it. Hallelujah. If you're struggling right now, we'll pray. Hello? If you're struggling, if you're tormented, if you're convicted, I encourage you, if you're convicted, repent. It's real simple. Because you know, without repentance, the demon ain't going nowhere. He's staying right in that place. And if you're too proud to repent, expect a big paycheck from the devil. And it's not a joyful one.
That's it, I had enough. I can't take this any longer.
I'm leaving. Yeah, there's got to be a better way than this. There is. Repent! Oh, to God be the glory. Hey, if I got to do it, you do it too, man. You know. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Sheesh. Let me see here. I better get to 2 Timothy. There we go. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Amen? Some of us were dishonor, but now we're for honor. Therefore, if anyone, read this with me, therefore if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, how would you cleanse yourself from the latter? Repent. He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife and open demonic activity in your life. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Now is the Spirit correcting those who are in opposition? Amen. If God perhaps will grant them what? Ooh. Is God granting us repentance tonight? So that they may what? Know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape what? The snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to what? Do his will. Now, if you have been convicted at all tonight and you're still managing some demons and you want to get rid of them, let's just touch and agree right now. Amen? Let's just touch and agree. Father, we just come to you right now, and Lord, as you've heard our repentance of managing these spirits and agreeing with these spirits, Lord, you know each and every one in this room who has repented before you tonight. Lord, I just touch and agree with them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, by the word of God, that the finger of God, and by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I command in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name above all names, that every one of you spirits, every one of you spirits, right now, in Jesus' name, that you will loose these souls in this room, that you will leave them right now, that you'll seek dry ground and not return, and that I break your power off of them, and that you'll release them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, Lord, we just lift our hands to you. We surrender to you. We've done our part, and now you're faithful to do yours. We repented, we renounced, and now we receive your love. We receive your presence, and we receive your forgiveness and your peace. Now the peace of the Lord be upon you. May the Lord fill you with His love, establish you, position you, and free you by the anointing of His Spirit in Jesus' name.